For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How beautiful. Let's study together.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.
What a joy to sit with you and to visit with you today. And welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse. I'm Jeff Archie. I'm grateful that you can sit there at your house or wherever you're viewing us. And I can sit here and just enjoy a visit with you today as we open up the precious book divine, God's Word, and see His will for our lives. What a beautiful thing that we can do to study the Word of God together. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." If we will but follow that light, He will lead us into the way of eternity. Now, stay with me on the broadcast, because at the end, I'm going to share with you some contact information. So if you would like to write us for some free Bible material to help you in your personal study, we will commit to do our very best. I know you're thinking, free material from a religious program? Absolutely. Everything we offer here on Book, Chapter, and Verse is absolutely free, and we will do our best to help you as we grow together in a study of God's Word. This world is changing. My, isn't it full of unrest and uncertainty? Aren't you appalled at some of the things that you and I see on television, hear on the radio, note on the internet? It's a tragedy, folks. But I'm going to tell you one thing that remains consistent through it all. God still loves mankind. Probably one of the earlier verses you ever memorized. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, what a beautiful passage. God still loves mankind. How grateful we are for His love. Now, our book, chapter, and verse today is going to come from the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 8 through 15. Now, as we look at this together, I want you to think with me, and this is not a statement other than just to help us in our Bible study. Sometimes when you say 1 John, people will want to go to the first John you see in the New Testament, right after Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Well, actually, that would be the Gospel of John, or actually it's called John by itself, like John 3:16. 1 John is part of the trifecta of books toward the back of the Bible, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, just before Jude and the Revelation. Today we want to look at 1 John. The writings of John, known by many as the Apostle of Love. We're going to look at verses 8 down through verse 15. And then we're going to bracket it together and break it down and help us today as we study book, chapter, and verse. Let's look at this together. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Finally, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. May the Lord bless us with the reading and the hearing and the application of His Word. Oh, what a beautiful reading. Today, I'd like for you and I to think about this reading. And what I want to do is break it down. So if you have a pencil or a pen, let's take a moment and we'll do a little bit of bracketing work. This is something that I love to do as I teach the Bible where I preach. And there are occasions I teach a Bible class and we just want to sit down and look at the text carefully and define a few words. So let's do this. Our study is the salvation of God is love. So circle verse 8, the part that says God is love. And then I want you to take a bracket and bracket verses 9 through 12 and bracket verses 13 through 15. And then we're going to look within those of how God is love, how the salvation of God is love, and how it all came about. So here we go. Verses 9 through 12, first of all, here is love that was manifested through the Son. Now the word manifested is a word that means to be stamped, approved, or proven. I like to think of the word manifest, M-A-N-I-F-E-S-T. A manifest is something that shows that there is approval, that it's stamped, it's guaranteed. I used to work for a national food company, and when our drivers would deliver our orders, the customer would sign the invoice, and then the driver had what was called his manifest, and the receiver would sign that manifest. And at the end of the day, the truck driver should have an empty truck, but a full manifest. He might have had to bring back some credit product, but overall, that would give the signal or the signatures and the approval, the stamping that he had delivered all that product to where it was to go. The idea of manifest is stamped, approved, and proven. Now, how did he do that in this text? All right, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. God revealed His plan to man. The authority of God was manifested to His apostles. Jesus said in John 17, verse 6, I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Oh, how beautiful Thine they were. And Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. That preaching of that word reveals the gospel unto man unto life eternal, as Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 1, 2, and 3. So in this was the love of God manifested or stamped or approved or proven in that He revealed Christ to man. Christ came into the world. Number two, the love of God is manifested not only through revealing Christ, but by redeeming man through Christ. So we've got reveal, now we have redeemed. Notice the word propitiation in verse 10. Propitiation is the word or an appeasement, a clean sacrifice. It's also defined as the removal of wrath. Through the redemption, the redeeming blood of Christ, it removed the wrath of God upon mankind. It is the only thing that could have redeemed us. So we're manifested through revealing His Son who redeemed us. Listen to Romans 3:25, whom God, speaking of Christ, whom God had sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. He's letting those brethren at Rome know, you have that remission of sins. How did they have that? How did they become the servants of righteousness in Romans 6, verse 17 and 18? They obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered them. What was the form of doctrine? The gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. So how were they, did they become servants and redeemed by the blood of that fashion or that pattern or that form? Through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, they were dead to sin. They were buried with Him in baptism, and resurrected or raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 4 through 6. Now stay with me. How else was the love of God manifested? Not only to redeem, not only to repeat, or not only to reveal and to redeem, but now to repeat. As you and I think about how God stamped, approved, and proven, and that is to be repeated. Notice, if you will, he talked about how we ought to love one another. If we love one another, his love is perfected in us. John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have also loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. When Jesus was asked, what was the great commandment? What did Jesus say in Matthew 22, 37? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, consider with me how God's love and God's salvation is so evident in our lives. It was manifested, proven, stamped, approved. How? God, how did you stamp and approve and prove and bring forth that love to us? God said, I revealed my Son by sending him to earth. I have redeemed man through his blood, and I want man to express that love and to repeat it in his life before others. That's the beauty of the salvation of God being love. He manifested, he proved it by revealing the Son, redeeming man through the Son, and man repeating by his behavior and how he lives. That makes God's love evident in our lives. His love is, watch it, perfected in us. His love is perfected in the Christian, complete, made full and whole through the revealed Son, the redeemed Savior, and the repeating of our lives. Now, let's go to our next bracket. Let's look at 1 John 4. And now we're going to look at verses 13 through 15 as we consider not only in this was his love manifested, but now love that instructs of the Savior. Verses 13 through 15. Now as you've bracketed 13 through 15, let's think about the love that instructs us. And it would only make sense. You see, if we have the Son revealed unto us, and we are redeemed through His Son, and then we repeat that with our lives, we have to have instruction to help us to grow, to help us to move along, to help us to increase what God has placed in our lives. This helps us to express the salvation of God through love, by the way God has instructed us. We're able to raise up our standards just a little more and to grow more in Christ, to help us to see and to understand clearer what we need to convey to man. Love that instructs us of the Savior. So we're going to build this a little bit more. If we repeat that love, and we grow in our knowledge of the love of God, how through His love we are able to learn more how to love, that we're able to grow and to mature even more. I mean, His love grows through our knowledge of His authority through the Spirit. Look at verse 13 again. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. So we are able to grow our knowledge. After all, Christ was granted all authority by the Father in Matthew 28, verses 18 and following. And then Jesus, while walking on this earth, promised the Spirit to his apostles. I love to look at those texts as Jesus was walking with his apostles in John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Jesus said, the Spirit will guide you, apostles. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. You will be able to tell of me, he will testify of me, and those apostles would preach it, would write it down. John 16:13, again to the apostles, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And that's what the Spirit did to the apostles. The authority of God through Christ, through the apostles. And as we see them who preached it and penned it, we are able to take it and apply it in our lives to respond with the fruit of the Spirit. And when we express the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, here's what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 to the Christian. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We are able to express that. It grows our knowledge of God. That love not only is manifested, but that love is also brought forth as we are manifested, that love in us. We are able now to present that love to others, and we grow in our knowledge. Number two, his love grows our evangelism for men. Now watch, John said, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Well, I am able to teach as John did, that God sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world. The only begotten Son of God, as we note again from John 3:16, and the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us in John 1:14. That Savior of the world, according to Titus 2:13. And see, we can grow in His grace and in knowledge, 2 Peter 3:18, and tell someone about Him. For example, it could be something just as easy as you're growing, you could tell a friend who might say, you know, I'm trying to study the Bible, and is there something that can help me? Well, you could simply say, why don't you tune in to book, chapter, and verse and study with Jeff as I do? Or you may sit down and talk about something with someone and bring them closer to Christ. Or the things that we share here on book, chapter, and verse that are absolutely free, well, hey, you could receive it and give it to that friend. So we grow in our knowledge, we grow in our evangelism, and verse 15 says he grows our faithfulness. If we confess him as Jesus, as the Son of God, God dwells in him and he's in us. You see, confession is not something that we do only at the point of our initial obedience. For example, the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8:37. That's what the eunuch said before he was immersed into Christ. But confession is something that we do on a daily basis because we are obedient unto Christ. For example, Matthew 10:32. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. So we're able to confess him. That's why you and I can reach for faithfulness. I love 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Partakers of the divine nature. I know you see the camera here and I'm at the set with my table and you're probably wondering, do you ever reach for that coffee cup and take a drink? Well, during a break sometimes, I guess I would. But you know, I can have a full cup of coffee sitting right there and never reach for it. Until I reach and partake of it, it's just there. Notice we can be partakers of the divine nature. When an individual escapes the corruption that is in the world through lust, a person becomes a Christian. The salvation of God is love, because that makes it possible. God said, I'm going to manifest it unto you. I'm going to reveal it to you. I want you to repeat it to others. You and I are able to grow in our knowledge. Somebody says, well, I just don't know enough. Oh, yes, we do. We can know enough. We can continue to grow in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can continually learn about our salvation and others too. Okay, let's see what we've covered today from 1 John 4, 8 through 15. God's love is so simple yet so profound. It lifts us up. It helps us to grow. It helps us and strengthens us. And you know, through the giving of His Son, God said, I'm going to manifest and I'm going to prove this. I'm going to give my Son to you. I'm going to reveal Him to the world. I'm going to let Him redeem you. I want you to repeat it and tell it to others. And we can grow as we reveal God unto man through His Son. That's the beauty of the salvation of God. He loves us. We love and obey Him, and we're able to tell others that soul-saving message of the gospel of Christ. The salvation of God is love, and God loves you, my friend. If you're feeling down, you're feeling challenged, you're having a tough time, I want you to pause and remind yourself, in a day and age where there's so many problems, so many challenges, there's one thing that remains true. It did at the start of this broadcast, and it will at the end and all through eternity. God loves mankind, and He has that plan for man that He has manifested and made clear, the salvation of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Have you accepted Christ? Will you accept His will and His way? In the New Testament time, those that heard the word believed it. They moved on their faith in Christ to repent of their sins, to confess Jesus as the Son of God, and to be buried with Him in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins. That's what they did on the day of Pentecost. Hey, that's what Paul did. That's what we find people doing throughout the Bible. And they're added to the church. Why? Because they see the great love of God manifested through the Son and now repeated in the lives of people that He has changed and impacted. What a beautiful thought. And you know, my friends, once we obey that gospel of Christ, life doesn't stop. I know there are times that people say, well, hear, repent, or hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, just those five steps. Well, that gets us into Christ, but we need to make certain that we are abiding in Christ. And that's called faithful living. That's called faithful living that we can, well, we've been noting today what we're studying from 1 John 4. Was written to those who had already obeyed the gospel. They were already Christians, and He was reminding them of how much God loves them, how much God continues to love them, how much God embraces them, and then we are able to grow in that way, to continue to confess Him. So life doesn't stop when you and I, after hearing and believing and repenting and confessing Christ and we're baptized, life doesn't stop. Actually, it's the beginning. It's a new creation in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're able to walk faithful until we leave this world, maybe through death, Revelation 2:10, or if the Lord returns again as we're alive. But we will stand before Him giving an answer to how we've lived. Folks, it's a faithful life. It's a beautiful life. We continue to grow in that grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I trust today our study of the salvation of God, being love, will help you to grow in Christ. Let's pause and let's embrace this hymn together.
Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance now and always, thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, when victory is won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright and sun. Heart of my heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Let me wander from thee, never leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. O, the fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's true as we started, it continues to be true. We're thankful for our God, who is a God of love.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words
of life.